Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk to Chuck in Mount Airy right now. Chuck, good morning.
Yeah, Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa. Don't forget
and Kwanzaa.
Yes, sir. Yeah, listen, just want to say this, right? One thing on the Phillies, one thing on the Eagles, right? I just want to say I thought I'd be mad at the Phillies today when I woke up, but I just wanted to see them fight back, and they showed me some fight. So, I mean, you know, it was a bonehead play yesterday. I think he panicked, but what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do? It's... I don't think they can bring this core back, though. I just don't think they could do that. But that's, man.
Well, a good chunk of it will be back, Chuck. I mean, it's, you know, it's, they got to make a decision on Schwarber and JT, who have been core players. And but, you know, and Bohm could get dumped. And Cassidy, I feel very confident, won't be here. They're going to have to eat a lot of salary or trade a good prospect to get rid of them. But good portion of the team is going to be back.
Yeah, well. They need some other guys in here that's going like a little bit more of a, you know, some more Baiters, those type of guys in here, man. I can, you know, just to switch it up a little bit, man. It's been the same thing every year. But, I mean, that's, this season's over, and, you know, hats off to the Dodgers. But the Eagles are in trouble. And I never thought I would say this, but this offense will never reach its full capacity with this quarterback. I'm convinced this offense has been bad for a better part of 3 years now. It hasn't just been this year. Last year, we just got lucky because Saquon had an axe to grind, and the offensive line was massive. Defense was the number one defense, but we have to start pointing the finger at number one, and that's what I'm doing right now. I feel bad for our wide receivers. You know, they don't get looked at. The guy doesn't look at his second reads. When I mean, just look at one player, throws the ball, it's the same thing. And I don't hear enough of him being blamed. This guy.
So Chuck, you know, to what you're saying resonates with me to an extent.
An awful lot.
Yeah, he does get blamed a lot, and I'm one of them. But Chuck, here's what's so perplexing about this year, and I can honestly say in my 47 years, I've never seen anything like it in Philadelphia sports. How can an offense, and it's happened about four or five times now in six games, how can an offense be so spectacular for one half and so horrendous for another half? I've never seen anything like it. I mean, sometimes his first half is good and second half is bad. Sometimes his first half is bad and second half is great. I don't, like, John, last night they were borderline unstoppable in the first half.
Yeah.
And then completely limp in the second half. I actually just don't understand it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, I have to look at that tape again myself. I know 2 weeks ago in the first half we faced a ton of man coverage where we were exploiting that with our wide receivers on the outside, AJ, you know, putting that ball up, letting him go win one-on-one. And then in the second half, they did a lot more zone, and our arch nemesis, the concept of the simulated pressure, crushes us. Yeah. So I'm assuming yesterday it was more of the simulated pressures. That really does create problems for our offense.
Yeah, I just find it really perplexing. I mean, they were humming, and it's happened a bunch this year, and then they weren't. Oh, it's an all-time awful Philadelphia sports morning, because it was an all-time awful Philadelphia sports night. You know, I thought about, you know, we're talking a lot from our perspectives, us all here as adults, but I did think about the kids. You know, if you're 10 or 8 or 12, oh, you're going to bed crying last night. And then I think about the super young, that maybe, because a lot of, you know, 12-year-olds are staying up, obviously. It wasn't that late a game, even though it went to the 11th inning. But I think like the 6- and 7-year-olds that, you know, maybe did go to bed, and they wake
up
this morning.
Joey, I got one of those, buddy.
So did you have that? Well, yeah. You didn't have it with her this morning.
So that's the thing is, I don't have the morning. I don't know how it went, but she wanted to stay up. Our buddy Tommy was over watching last night, and Zoe, she literally walked upstairs with her head down because she was so sad she had to leave us because it was bedtime. And, like, that sucks, man. That's sad. And she's only six and whatever. But
no,
like,
but you wake up, and the first thing you ask your mom or dad is, did we win?
Did we win?
Did we win? Did we win? And there were probably 10 to 20,000 parents across the Delaware Valley
who were saying, which team, child?
Yeah, well, the
Eagles, they didn't. The Phillies, they didn't either. And the Flyers, sorry. No.
Oh, my God.
This is an all-timer.
I hate to break it to you, but my kid does not cry. He just goes, oh, what did you expect?
Yeah, he's one of those.
He grew up with you.
That's
because he's your kid.
The apple did not fall far from the tree. No, he thinks I'm a lunatic watching the games. Yeah. So his reaction to me being a lunatic is to just kind of mock me and be like, well, what did you expect? he's a teenager.
Sure.
But yeah, he doesn't get like too high or too low. And I envy him for that because I'll never know that.
Yeah, no, I mean, we are wired different, and we've seen a lot, but I'll say this. We've never seen that before.
No.
I mean, we've seen devastating losses, but we never saw it that way. This was let's listen to Kirker and what he said. You know, there was an interesting point brought up by a caller earlier. I forget which caller, but one of the callers said, you just got to get rid of him. Like, even if you sort of believed in him for the future, just you can't even bring this guy back.
I think
back.
It was Drew in Westchester.
Yeah, maybe.
I think you're right.
After 93 with Mitch, the Phillies – probably had that mindset, like we just got to get rid of them, and they did. That's a rare category, but it happens. It does happen sometimes. That's how the Red Sox organization and fans felt about their manager Grady Little after 03 when he messed up Game 7 versus the Yankees.
Oh, that was
a great comp, Joe.
Yeah,
when he brought Pedro in, that's a great comp, man. You're right.
I mean, sometimes an organization says we just for like everybody's good, for the fans good, for that guy's good. For everybody's good, we just got to move on and put him somewhere else. Obviously, a manager has to find his own job. Phillies could trade Kirkren. Let's listen to what Kirkren said. Matter of fact, Rhea, which audio did you play in the update?
She played Franski. I could play the TV.
Yeah, let's play the TV audio of what went down the final play, the final 5 seconds of the season, and then we'll listen to Kirkren first. And I thought these announcers did a good job. Let's listen to that dreadful sequence at the end.
No balls and a strike. Jaquez breaks his bat. Kirkring got to find it. Throws to the plate. Oh, my goodness. He throws it away. And the Dodgers have won. The Dodgers win. And they are moving on to the NLCS. And a most improbable finish. Pandemonium at Dodger Stadium. And your heart breaks for Orion Kirkring. I mean, this game ends in the cruelest way for the Phillies.
He was doubled over for about as long as I can remember a Philly athlete ever, just head down, you know, hand on the, I guess, thighs or waist or whatever the heck it was. I mean, that was
a pretty good call right there.
He did a great
job.
Game
Brian ends
Anderson
in the cruelest
good.
Way for the Phillies. That's solid.
Those guys were great.
True.
And of course, our crew with Franski and all great as well. Let's listen to what Kirkren said after the game. Everyone wanted to know how he would handle it. And much like Mitch in 93, you know, handled it like a man, didn't run from the media, didn't not answer questions. Kirkren stood there and answered the questions. And here's the heart of his answer as he talks about that key sequence.
Yeah, I feel it. Just kind of, once that pressure got to me, I just thought it was a faster throw, the JT, a little quicker throw than trying to cross body of the Bryce. So, just more throw.
Yeah. Did you hear them calling, telling you to go to first at all, or were you just in the moment that it wasn't even?
Just in the moment.
Yeah.
Can you see JT pointing in that moment, or is it just kind of looking up?
Just kind of looking up. Just be ready.
I mean, a lot of guys have never done it. The first ones there. Just what do the guys say to you in that moment?
Just keep your head up. It's honest mistake. Just it's baseball. It happens, and just keep your head up. You'll be good for a long time to come. It's not my fault. Then. Just had opportunities to score. Just
had a conversation with Rob too. What did he say? What does that sort of mean to you? About those guys picking you up so quick.
It means a lot. It shows they care a lot.
It is really nice to see that support from the guys, you know, around him. I mean, it was immediate, and you can only imagine how deep into the night it went last night. Let's also listen to Jimmy Rollins. James, you got that audio of J. Roll talking about that? So, you know, we've all broken down the play, and everyone's pretty much got the same assessment. I mean, we know he could have thrown a first. But Jimmy had a really good breakdown on TV after the game. And very on point. Listen to what J-Roll said.
And how do you process what happened on that last play?
I don't know. It's just full panic mode at that moment when he didn't field the ball properly. He just blacked out. He just panicked, and all he went to think about was the game-winning run was at third. There's still plenty of time.
Pointing the first.
Plenty of time to make the play. Páez wasn't even at the 45-foot line, which means he's not even halfway there. JT's coming up pointing that first, yelling. You can't hear, but it goes back to having a game plan. Run through plays. We talk about it. If I strike him out, cool. If it's come back to me, where am I going with it? If it takes me to the third baseline, do I take it and throw it to third? If it takes me to the first baseline, obviously it's right up front. If it's a dribbler right up front, am I going to glove flip the JT? Any of those things, but he just panicked. He just panicked. It was almost, he was, you know, looking for the out, but almost like as if he took his way out of it other than a strikeout. And it's tough to see. It's something that you're going to have to live with.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the rest of your life.
That's a great breakdown. Great analysis. Let's go to the phones. We're going to be very, very, very heavy on the phone line today. It's just brutal, guys.
I just can't believe it ended like that.
I know. But I'll say what I said at the start of the show. My mindset doesn't start with Kirk Green. I know that's how it ended. Mine starts with the hitters. And I do give them more leeway than some because I know the Dodgers pitching was elite, much like how the Phillies pitching was elite. Both teams weren't hitting much. I mean, the Phillies actually outscored the Dodgers in the series. But the reality is the Phillies' big boppers let them down. And it would not have taken much more for the Phillies to win this series. They just needed a little bit more, and they did not get it. Let's talk to Tom in Springfield right now. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, John. Good morning, Rhea. And good morning, Seltzer.
Hey, Tom.
I won't ask how everybody's doing because I already know the answer to that question because I know how I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, game Wednesday night, I go to a local watering hole to watch the game, and they win. So last night, I go back to the same local watering hole, and even the manager comes up to me. And he says, "Oh, back-to-back nights." I'm like, "Yeah, baby, can't change what's working," and it didn't work. My takeaway the big boppers let you down. Trey, Schwarber, and Harper. I think I have a particular problem with Harper because he never adjusted. He never tried to go the other way. He was trying to hit the ball out of the stadium every single time, which, you know, that's fine if you're 2-0 and you do what Harper or what Schwarber did in game three. When you're 0-2, you gotta change it up. I think Ruben said it best the other day when he was on with you guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That when Harper's going well and JT's going well, it's when they're using the whole field.
Yep.
And we didn't do that. We didn't hit backside singles. We didn't, you know, hit the ball the other way. We just tried to pull the ball every single time. The Kirk Ring thing, having coached baseball for 20 years, it's borderline unforgivable because even the kids that – some of the kids that I had coached back in the day were at the bar with me. And they're like, "Coach, you would have known what to do there." And they were making me laugh, but they're like, "If Popper gets fired, are you available?" So it was fun, but you know,
Tom, unforgivable is a strong term. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. I would just say that you can't get it back. You'll never get it back. If you as a fan want to say you don't forgive them, that's up to you. That's not the way my mind works.
Joe, but a 12-year-old would have known what to do there. You go to first.
Not But you know what? Here's the one thing I'll say to counter that, Tom. A 12-year-old doesn't play in front of 60,000 people screaming. You know, even the 30-year-olds that play in front of him, rarely is it that loud where he probably couldn't hear the catcher. I mean, well, don't get me wrong.
He's a professional.
He didn't need to hear the catcher to know where he was supposed to go.
Holy hell, he's a pro.
Listen,
he's supposed to make that play 100 times out of 100.
Listen, if you want to not forgive him, that's up to you. I'm just objecting to that term, but that's up to you.
No, I get that, but it's maybe unforgivable is a harsh term. It's not
unforgettable.
Well,
it's never leaving our minds.
Definitely,
and you can never, like, again, I agree with you, Joe. Like, I feel worse for Ryan Kerkering than I feel mad at Ryan Kerkering, but I also will never trust him in a big spot again.
That's reasonable.
You know, so
no,
that's, like, it, from that perspective,
back
I can't,
down our throats,
yes, I can't
when
keep
I didn't
him,
trust
you know?
Him anyway.
Listen,
like,
that's all reasonable.
That's a problem. Why is this guy continually put right back in our lap?
Well, John, Alvarado killed them.
Yeah.
And Robertson, you felt like you were getting diminishing returns. And that combination is what put Kerkering back in the game repeatedly.
So let's also talk about the construction of the roster, and I know that's been talked about. Again, you had guys on that roster that never played. Why did we go get Walker Buehler if he's not going to pitch at all? Why did we have Nola on the roster if he's going to throw two innings? Why do we have Taiwan Walker on there if he's going to pitch two-thirds of an inning?
Well, there weren't a ton of there weren't a ton of spots to put those guys in. The reality is the Phillies were getting great outings.
Hold on, Joe. Twice last night in the last two innings, okay, and you mentioned it and Ray mentioned it, that the guy that was on third was a pinch runner.
Yeah.
The inning before that, they also put in a pinch runner. We only could do that one time because of the way our roster was constructed.
I know.
And then they had to put Weston Wilson in after Bader had pinched it because he couldn't run, period.
Sure, sure.
And mad respect to Bader because he comes up there on one leg or whatever.
He battled.
And again, yeah. And battled.
That might have been the most pitches. That might have been the most important at bat of the game, though.
It was absolutely.
I thought it was
absolutely.
You could feel it, like. Just do something. Yep. It was so good. And
but why is
I,
it
I hope
that
they can bring him back?
Me
I love
too.
Like, I love the way he plays.
Me too.
Yeah, get rid of Marsh because he stinks. Get rid of Cassie because he stinks. And
yes.
let's start it over. And maybe get like Aiden Crawford there and these guys up here, these young kids, and see what they
well,
can do.
Well, Crawford will be up for sure. Tom, appreciate the call, man. So, James, what is the Bader money going to look like? I mean, he's not been a great baseball player. He played very well here. What is he? Is he 3 years, $45 million?
Yeah, he's that type of player. And, again, it's a question of how much he has raised his profile with this run here and, you know, how much he's, you know, raised his level of getting paid. You know, he had a good contract season, too. Again, he's like a 247 career outer. He batted almost 280 this year. You know, like, he had a really good year in a contract year. So, yeah, Joe, I think he's like a 15-ish per year type of guy, somewhere in that range.
And, of course, the Castellanos contract, John, hurts because it's $20 million assigned. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to essentially go unused. I don't think he has to be on the team. I think they're going to have to dump him, basically eat the money. You know, if I had to guess, it'll be like when the Phillies traded Tomy and they had to, you know, literally pay the other team to have Tomy on the team. Mm-hmm. And I don't – if there's anybody that I feel – confident won't be back, the number one guy I would say, I'm not talking about the guys that are like the ultra scrubs at the bottom of the roster.
We're saying this.
Castellanos, I think, is the most prominent guy that will not be back.
What about Bohm?
He could be. I mean, he's got 1 year left on his deal. That could go either way.
Yeah, there's no way Cassie's back after the comments and all that and the way he acted with Topper. And that's like, I would bet everything I have that Castellanos will not be a Philly next year.
The only thing theoretically that might save him is if Rob Thompson gets fired and then maybe a new manager's like, I'll work with him.
Even then. I think with the fan thing, Joe, with those comments, I think that they know they can't bring this guy back.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, with the way the Phil season ended, which emotion do you feel more this morning, anger or sadness? Let's tackle the second poll question here. Rob Thompson. Now, I know it's very early, and many people probably would say I need more time to assess. Like, I know I need more time to assess whether I want him back or not. I'm going to give you my early assessment. Do you want him back as the Phillies manager next year, yes or no? Rhea, what is your – so, two-part question, Rhea. Okay. Do you know for sure what your answer will be in 2 weeks? And if not, what is your current answer?
No, I don't want him back.
So you're out.
Yeah, I'm out.
Okay.
I mean, there were too many mistakes that I can point to with him.
Yep.
And he was brilliant in game three. But game two should have been won, and I didn't like bringing Robertson back out again for... You know, he's lower on my list for yesterday.
Sure,
but the first two, absolutely.
Oh, listen, very reasonable. And you guys know I said before game four, if the Phillies lose this series, we're going to point back to games one and two and say that's where they lost it. I've seen this happen before where... I'll give you an example, the 0-1 Sixers. And they probably weren't going to win anyway because the Lakers were truly better. But the Sixers had such a great chance in games 2 and 3. The Sixers didn't lose the series in games 4 and 5.
No.
The Sixers lost the series when they did not win games 2 and 3. There are moments to be captured, and you either capture it or it's going to slip through your fingers. This one slips through their fingers. Seltzer, do you know what your answer will be in 2 weeks? What is your answer today on Rob Thompson?
Yeah, fully agree on that last point, Joe. They lost the series in game 1 and 2. I'm right where you are. I'm like really torn on this. I need some time to let it, you know, sit and think about it. Cause let's put it this way. As of now, if they fired him, I wouldn't be like angry. I wouldn't be upset. I'd feel bad for him. I think he's a great guy. I like him, but I wouldn't be upset. Like, I think a change makes sense, but I also, if they didn't fire him, I could talk myself into that.
What's your current lean?
If I'm not, this is not my final answer.
I get it.
I would probably move on.
Okay. John?
I think he's probably going to step down.
Yeah, so. I don't think he'll be fired. Let me just agree with that point. I don't think the Phillies will say, we have fired Rob Thompson.
Right.
I think that if they want him out, they'll say, okay, it's retirement time.
No, a forced retirement maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't think you'll find out that they fired him, right. Although we'll find out probably that they fired him.
But technically it'll be a retirement. Be a cooperative, hey, it's time.
So what do you want?
I would like a new manager.
Okay. Well, I'll be really interested in this poll question both today.
But I love Rob Thompson.
We all do.
And I appreciate everything he gave us.
I'm with you, man.
I think it's time.
Grass isn't always greener, for what it's worth. Like,
I'm aware.
You know, like Dave Roberts, we just lost to a manager who I've seen in the playoffs have whoppers all time in this series. I'm talking like in the past four, you know, 10 years or whatever. Like, and that guy won a World Series last year, and he's probably going to win another one this year. I'm just saying, I agree. Like, and I like I said, I probably move on for the change sake, but I like Rob Thompson's a good manager. He is a good manager.
I agree with that. Look, my current lean is to keep him, but you know, my feet are not firmly planted on the ground. I'll tell you next week or 2 weeks as this thing drags on where I net out. My current lean, if I had to make a call today, is probably to keep him. But I believe me, the wind could blow me right on over to the other side. All right, what Rob Thompson said after the game, the press conference. We're going to get to that coming up in about 5 minutes as he covered a lot of ground post game last night. Let's go to Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. What a maybe the worst Philadelphia sports morning in the last, I don't know, decade at least.
Yeah.
Not a great one. And, oh, by the way, October 10th, 1993 is the day Randall Cunningham broke his leg in Chicago when the Eagles were 4-0.
That was in New York. Which day was that in 93?
Today. October 10th.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, no, that was in New York. That was the game Eric Allen had the interception return.
So, look,
meaning the Meadowlands, Northern Jersey.
Yeah, my initial response is, I like I said the other day, my anger is directed inward. It's directed at myself, because what I allowed myself to do is go into this believing that the exact same group of guys, for the most part, is going to do something different than they've done for the last two postseasons. This is what the team is. And you know, running it back or thinking that you're going to get a different result by putting the same guys out there in essentially the same order. And frankly, you know, I'm not killing Ryan Kerkling this morning because Ryan Kerkling should not have happened last night. I mean, you're talking about Rob Thompson, who is a great individual. He is a fine human, no question about it. And he is a fantastic regular season manager, no question about it. But what good does it do you to win 96 games, 97 games, 95 games every year, and then go right back to what we have every year? You know, the decisions in game one and game two were why we were where we were with Orion Kerkering last night in the 11th inning in Los Angeles. And Once that game gets to extra innings, there's almost no way the Phillies are going to win, because the Dodgers obviously have the advantage by being the home team. And it's who blinks first, and you just know the team's going to blink. So not only
– I didn't know they were going to blink, Ken. I'll just say that there. I thought the whole way it could have gone either way.
But you could not have – intellectually, you could not have believed that the compilation of Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, you could not have believed that they were going to come through – in the most,
but it could have been a mistake by the Dodgers. Like, once it got to the 11th, Ken, it was going to be a mistake by either team that was going to hand the other team, not necessarily that the other batters were going to come through.
Yeah.
And I mean, frankly, Ken, I kind of like the Phillies pitching. First off, let me say this. Bad job by TBS. At some point in a freaking game to the 11th inning, at some point you got to put up a graphic and say, hey, America, let me show you who's still available.
Joe, I couldn't believe it. Every inning, I would have done it in the ninth inning, and it kept going and kept going. I'm like, tell us who's there for each team.
I mean, I actually thought, like, do they no longer have the graphic? Because in the regular season, the guy starts on second base, and the games don't go to. Like, I really wondered, like, does that graphic even exist anymore? But, like, I'll tell you, Ken, I actually, because you had Walker Buehler, and you knew they were going to get to him soon, I actually kind of like the way the Phillies were set up. I agree with your point, though, Ken, that clearly the Dodgers, you know, when you get that final at bat, it gives you a certain emotional edge that's just difficult when you're the road team. I mean, you're just out there on a ledge when you're the road team, man.
I'm going to say something that I can't believe I'm saying. I told this to James the other day. I think the Phillies need to go out and sign Pete Alonso in the offseason. I mean, they really need...
Put Bryce back in the outfield?
Yes. Yeah. Don't ask.
Hey, listen, I'm open-minded to that.
Right field. I mean, they need it, and they can't just run this. They just can't.
And I find him so annoying.
That's okay. He can be annoying
so good
for us, John.
Yeah.
Ken, that's an interesting idea. I hadn't thought of it.
I think everything should be on the table, from moving players to different positions. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, and by the way, Boehm did play well last night. Got on base three times. Let's listen to Bryce Harper after the game last night. We don't have a long answer here for you, but it's a little snippet on the fact that obviously the club lost, and he's asked a good question. Matter of fact, I don't know if we have the question in the audio, so let me read to you, if not, what the question was. Let me just tee this up the right way. So Bryce was talking after the game and had been asked about, give me one moment, I apologize for this delay. Bryce was asked about, oh darn it, I don't even have it. James, roll the audio. It's basically on losing in the way they did. Let's listen.
You could have something back from the series, maybe not you personally, but as a team. Is there something you look back on and say that might have been an opportunity we missed?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Mookie at bat. You know, getting 3-2 right there, obviously. And then, you know, myself just missing pitches over the plate in the zone.
So the Mookie at bat, he's talking about when Mookie walked, obviously. And then, you know, it's good that he takes ownership himself as he needed to. Candidly, he was one of the worst Phillies in this series. I mean, I guess you'd put him and Trey and
Marsh.
And Marsh.
And Schwarber. Schwarber had two.
Yeah, but Schwarber, at least Schwarber.
I know, but Trey had three hits in that game. Like, if we're going to give Schwarber that grace, and Trey played great defense. Like,
all right, well, how about this? Bryce might have been, of all the regulars, he was probably the worst.
Bryce was probably the worst.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, coming up in a minute, you're going to hear Rob Thompson's press conference from last night. I'm sure most people missed it. Switching over to the Eagles game. We're heading to bed. By the way, what a time to switch to the Eagles game. I didn't experience it that way because when the Phillies ended, I did some post-game stuff and then started the Eagles game from the beginning. So I wasn't, like, dropped into the third quarter when all hell started breaking loose. James, was it third quarter?
I obviously had the second TV going, but it turned out with how intense that Phillies game was, it was hard to see anything happening, like hard to even look over. I saw some plays, and I saw it, you know, 2017, and then I was doing the IOPS pod, and I tuned in, and it was 27-17, and I basically, at the end of High Hopes, saw Jalen throw that pick, and it was just like, well, this is the rest of my night.
Well, here's what I know. The best part of the Eagles game was the part most people probably didn't say, which was the first half.
That's when it was like 13-10 because I had my laptop up. I was videotaping my laptop and the Phillies, and I was losing my mind. But I was watching that, and then it just all trained.
And bad luck for the Flyers to have their season start when the other two teams
are
playing.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
You know, it's bad luck. All right.
It happens every year.
Yeah, but this was a double whammy. This was a whopper. Yeah. All right, coming up in a minute. And by the way, they probably start on the road because the Phillies often have home games, I would guess. And the deeper the Phillies go, the chances are they could be eliminated, which they have been. That may be why the Flyers seem to always start on the road, at least this decade, since the Phillies got good. I don't know if it ties in. I would guess it probably does. But anyway, coming up in a minute, Rob Thompson's press conference from last night on tons of ground from the game. That's up ahead in a second.
You've heard me talk about my friends at PDQ POS and how their top-rated restaurant management system has helped thousands of companies in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, and casino businesses across the country. I've seen their operation. We've done our show from their headquarters, and I can tell you, the people, the technology, it's all so impressive. So if you're thinking of cutting your old point of sale, it's time to go all in and revolutionize your business with PDQ POS, the game changer in the world of POS solutions. Joe Flynn and his team at PDQ have been the industry leaders for over 35 years for a reason. It's because they offer everything: mobile POS, self-service kiosks, enterprise reporting, contactless functionality, data and cybersecurity, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, they'll build a custom solution for your business. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, as we broadcast from Borgata today on this absolutely horrific Friday morning, we're glad you're with us. I had said earlier, we're in this together, and at least we have that. WIP has always been.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here for you and for us collectively, you know, in the great times, like the morning after Super Bowl 52 or Super Bowl 59, and the bad times, of which we've had more of them. Speaking of bad times, James, you had asked me earlier, before we get to Rob Thompson, I just want to get this out there. You had asked me earlier about moments in Philly sports, and we've talked today about 93 losing Joe Carter and Rondé Barber and 64 Phils have come up and a few other things. There's one example I have in my mind. In the last 10 years, it's not quite the same way the current thing happened, but a singular moment where a singular athlete ended a Philadelphia sports season, where a Philadelphia athlete ended the season, and it has not come up, and probably not since this moment have we had something anywhere in this zone.
Is it the flag? I mean, the Bad Berry flag?
Nope.
What? How many years ago?
In the last 10. Pretty big moment.
10, that would be, all right, 15. So that's post-Andy, so it's not an Andy Reid team.
Yep, last 10 years.
Oh, Alshon drop.
1,000%.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
1,000%.
I was going to go Scott Young off, or, you know, false start.
Oh, yeah, that was 06. That was another one.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was brutal. And then Andy punted on 4th and 15. But the Alshon drop, it's one of, like, the Alshon drop and the Kirkring thing. Because obviously when you lose for many, many reasons. But rarely can you say, like, at least at the very end, it's on one guy. And I'm not saying it's on Kirkring more than it's on Bryce Harper. It's not. Bryce Harper let the Phillies down a lot more in this series than Kirkring did. And Kirkring wasn't good at other points. But rarely do you have, like, one guy at the very end. And that was Kirkring last night, and that was Alshon.
But the thing with Alshon is you go, all right, players drop passes all the time.
Yeah.
The Kirkring thing, we've seen that play made a million times.
Rhea, he lost his brain.
Yeah, I that's mean, the difference. The physical versus the brain.
Yeah, you know? That's the point. Yeah, thank you for pointing.
He lost his brain. Yeah. All right, let's listen to Rob Thompson talking about that moment and others. Press conference after the game. It's about 5-6 minutes. Here are the many things Rob Thompson got into.
Rob, obviously a heartbreaking way to lose. Looked like you had a long conversation with Orion coming off the field. Do you want to share a little what you told him?
Just keep his head up. You know, he just got caught up in the moment a little bit. Coming down the stretch there, he pitched so well for us. And it's, I feel for him because he's putting it all on his shoulders. But we win as a team and we lose as a team. So.
Rob, can you just take us through the decision to take Lizardo out at that point and put Kirkring in the game at that point?
Just with the two righties and Zeus had 30 pitches on him with 3 days rest, I didn't want to push him too much further. Really going into the game, thought about just one inning for him, really, because it's kind of his side day. But he was so efficient in the first, we decided to send him back out in the second.
Obviously, the devastation of it all is pretty fresh, but can you speak to the way this team fought until the end?
Yeah, I told him after the game, I said, you know, I appreciate what they've done all year. They prepared, competed, picked each other up, true professionals the entire year. And I'm extremely proud of how they went about their business. And I'm proud that I'm their manager, to tell you the truth. That goes for the coaching staff. It goes for all the support staff. Just a really elite group of people.
What do you think of everybody coming to Orion after that play and supporting him?
That's what that tells you about what they're made of, you know. Like I said, they win as a team, they lose as a team, they support each other. As bad as you feel, it's good to see them be there for each other.
How impressive was Sasaki for the Dodgers, and were you surprised at all that he went out there for a third inning?
No, not really. I mean, he's been starting, he's been lengthened out. When you get into these games, you know, you got to do some things that are a little unconventional. And he was really good. Really good.
Can you just talk a little bit about the pitching in the series, how impressive it was from both teams?
Yeah, I mean, all the starters were tremendous. We got some great relief, especially today. Lizardo stepping up, coming out of the pen. Strom was really good today. Their bullpen was good. It was pretty impressive. Four games.
Rob, obviously now 4 years in a row, World Series hopes, and the way this one ended. I mean, how does this one feel compared to the others? Is it harder to take with the way it ended?
I can't really compare because they all feel just awful. I mean, when this happens, it's like your entire world comes to a stop, and it's just a thud. And it's just not a good feeling. It really isn't, especially, you know, regular season, we were really good. We had a lot of wins, and we expected a lot more.
And you guys, typically a guy like Zach Wheeler has taken out a lot of innings in this series. I know you just talked about the pitching, but the starters, every plan you did pitching-wise seemed to work. I mean, does that make this even tougher to swallow?
It is tough, you know. But I take my hat off to our starters for, picking it up. And you know, when Zach went down, they just did a heck of a job. They just kept getting better and better as the season went on. And they pitched great in the playoffs.
Rob, take us back to the seventh inning, the decision to, obviously Ohtani's great, intentionally walk him, then load the bases, and then Duran walks the guy. Any concern about, I know sometimes you don't like to intentionally walk the bases loaded because it doesn't leave the pitcher a margin for error there.
Yeah, that's Duran's first career bases loaded walk. So, I mean, you're not expecting that. And just his ability to throw strikes, really wasn't expecting that, but you know what happened.
And you made several decisions this series with logical baseball reasoning behind it, but it just seemed not to work out a lot of the time. Did you feel kind of snake bit at all, or is that just part of managing and stuff?
I mean, it's just part of managing, and when something doesn't work, you're up for criticism, and I understand that. It's just part of the job. So,
Rob, you talked about how great the pitching was in this series, but when you look at
your lineup? I mean, other than what you got a couple innings last night, they really struggled against the Dodgers. Is there anything that you can kind of identify as to maybe what didn't click for them against this team?
Dodgers have really good pitching. You know, so, I mean, their lineup's good, too, and they didn't score a whole lot of runs either. So it really comes down to the pitching. They pitched great. We pitched great. It was a well-fought series. They came out on top, unfortunately, and, you know, that's the way it is. And you feel awful.
This team has a lot of free agents. Obviously, there's a lot of work for the front office to do. But from your perspective, like, where does this team go from here? And do you think there's great years ahead?
Oh, I do. You know, with and I don't know what Dave and John and Preston are going to do in the offseason. We haven't really talked about anything like that, but you know, our farm system is being built up. I know that they're going to, you know, John's going to spend money. He wants to win. He wants a world champion. So there's good years ahead, no doubt.
Do you expect to manage next year?
Do I? It's out of my control. I'm not even thinking about it. I got 60 people in there that are brokenhearted right now. So I'm thinking about that more so than my job right now.
All right, that's Rob Thompson last night. A lot in there. I'm going to give you one positive salvo. I know a lot of people aren't in the mood for next year positivity, but I want to say it because I believe it. Phillies will be back as a heck of a team, and that'll probably sustain for a number of years moving forward. Now, they're going to have to, you know, do some shift on the fly of who the true inner core is. You know, at some point, Bryce won't be inner core. At some point, Zach Wheeler won't be inner core, and we don't even know if Zach Wheeler can pitch next year. But I know this. When you have a group that probably will include Zach Wheeler at some point next year, will include Sanchez, will include Lizardo, will probably include Andrew Painter, will likely be a better form of Nola. You know, even if you lose Ranger, you got it. Tremendous pitching. So just know, my mindset entering the offseason is I expect the Phillies to be a playoff team again next year. But, you know, I'll call this offseason this. Here's my mindset for the offseason. Tinker plus. When I hear tinker, I think you're working around the edges. It's more than working around the edges, but it's not an overhaul. So I'd call it tinker plus. I probably need about two new position players that are impactful. And if they can do that, they could become a better team. And if they don't, they could slide back. But I don't think they slide back to the point where they're not a playoff team. That's my outlook as they move toward, you know, next year and this offseason. And obviously, Crawford is a key piece. Is he going to be good? Is he going to be bad? Too early to know. We've seen a bunch of prospects pan out. We've seen more prospects not. You know, is he Marlon Byrd, who's just a disappointment out there and kind of hangs around baseball for a while but is never really that good? I don't know. We'll see. But it'd be great if he and Painter can give him some life.
Positive, Joe, because I think Rob Thompson hit on something important. We have an owner who desperately wants to win.
Yep.
And, like, at the end of the day, like, that matters so much. It just does. He's going to – I believe he will keep spending. Maybe, you know, he's not going to beat Steve Cohen, but I think he's going to keep spending. I think he cares about building this up behind the scenes, the drafting, development, the front office, all that. Like, having an owner who wants to win matters so much.
But I will say this on the flip side. It is hard in sports when your highest paid guy, you're getting diminishing returns. And with Bryce Harper, it feels like they're getting diminishing returns. And I'm not out on Bryce in any way, but I do feel the greatness that was, and I'm not saying postseason greatness, the regular season that was Bryce Harper from his, you know, latter Washington years and it was first three or four Phillies years, it feels to me like that guy probably doesn't exist anymore.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.